This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm Susan Stamberg.
We are still talking to the members of the council to see what is possible with respect to coalescing around a position that wouldn't draw a veto. But the options remain: go for a vote and see what members say, or not go for a vote. But there are all the options that you can imagine are before us, and we'll be examining them today, tomorrow, and into the weekend.
Secretary of State Colin Powell at a House Appropriations Subcommittee meeting Thursday. NPR's senior news analyst Daniel Schorr joins us to discuss the news of the week. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Susan. A long time.
Long time no hear, but it's so nice to see you be in the same room together. Last week, President Bush said he wanted a UN Security Council vote on a new resolution that would authorize using force in Iraq, no matter what the whip count is. But this week you had Colin Powell telling the Congress that that resolution might be abandoned. So what do you think? Has the White House given up on winning UN support for the possibility of war?
I don't think they have quite given up. And I think when General Powell said through this weekend, we now know that through this weekend means a meeting in the Azores of American President, British Prime Minister Tony Blair, and the Spanish Prime Minister. And apparently these three have taken it on themselves to see if they can work their way out of this mess.
Yeah, the meeting takes place Sunday. Azores, it's in the North Atlantic for those who, like me, have lost their atlases. But it's one day. What can they do in such a short time?
In one day, if they use it profitably, they can make a very big decision as to what to do. There are several options, clearly. One option is to say, as the president has been saying, okay, I want the vote, and if the vote goes against me, all right, I still want it to happen. Or you can say, we don't want the vote to go against you, so we will withdraw the resolution. Still further, there's a possibility of saying, is there any way of taking this resolution, which apparently does not have much chance now, is there any way of changing it and make it so bland that even the French will take it?
Wow, yeah. Well, meantime, you've got Tony Blair, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, in a good deal of trouble at home. Less than 20% of the British say that they will accept a war with Iraq. So what can George Bush offer him that might be useful to Blair?
One thing that he's been trying to offer him is to make it look as though he's very important to this alliance. And, of course, the trouble there was that our wonderful Secretary of Defense, Don Rumsfeld, made it look as though he wasn't by saying, I'm not clear exactly what we want the British to do. Well, they cleaned that act up a little bit. Uh-huh. But here we have the Prime Minister, who, over the objections of many people in his own Labour Party, and in spite of polls indicating that the British people on the whole really would rather not go to war right now, he sticks very loyally with President Bush. So I suppose that anything that Bush could give him, he would.
Mr. Rumsfeld has been making these off-the-cuff remarks of late that just seem to create all kinds of headaches. He did something about old Europe, do you remember, and draftees,
yeah,
not adding value to the armed services?
Well, when he was told, you know, that France and Germany were going to vote against the United States and that France would exercise a veto if necessary, clearly our Secretary of Defense gets a little bit irritated about that. But he's the Secretary of Defense. He's not the Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. And for him to be saying that France and Germany constitutes the old Europe as though we are in charge of some new Europe turned out to be not a very wise thing for him to do. And then hardly out of the woods on what's happened back there with France and Germany, now in this past week, there's this matter of Tony Blair. That's a problem.
Yeah. The Pentagon said Friday that it had started to move ships from the Mediterranean Sea to the Red Sea, where it could launch an attack on Iraq without flying through the airspace of Turkey. So has this government given up on negotiating with Turkey?
You never know exactly when this government has given up or whether it's still trying, even though it knows that there isn't much chance. Turkey represents the latest really big problem for the United States in trying to command the loyalty of a lot of countries which used to give loyalty to the United States very freely. No one really ever expected that Parliament would vote down a resolution providing for the use of Turkish space as a launching platform to provide a northern front. Now the decision of the United States has to be, the government has to be, Do we simply say, all right, we'll do it without Turkey, we'll fly around some other way, which at this point would be very hard to do. There are a lot of troops waiting to land in Turkey, and the decision has to be made pretty quickly if it's going to work at all. But it is really dismaying mm-hmm. how little support the United States government seems to be able to count on from countries that used to be considered big allies.
Yes. And this week, the Middle East got back on the radar screen. President Bush and Prime Minister Tony Blair holding back-to-back news conferences saying the U.S. is ready to unveil a roadmap for peace between Israel and the Palestinians. Why this is happening now?
Why not? You want me to be a cynic and say because President Bush would like very much to change the subject from the subject of trying to get a resolution on Iraq? Uh-huh. In fact, the position of the government had been for a long, long time that first they would do Iraq and then they would come out with this plan, with a so-called roadmap, and then try to do something about an independent Palestine along with the same time a cessation of violence against the Israelis. That plan has been there, ready to come for a long time. The only question is, why now? Well, I think they'd like to see another headline in the papers this weekend, other than simply the United States can't seem to get it together on Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Meantime, there was another story this week that barely got attention. An assassination, any other time it would have dominated the news. It's the Prime Minister of Serbia. He's killed in Belgrade. He was crucial to getting rid of Slobodan Milosevic in building...
It's a very good chance that supporters of Milosevic were the ones who did the execution.
Uh-huh. But meantime, Mr. Dinkić was building a coalition government. Serbian government links that murder to organized crime. More than 50 arrests, but what does this mean for the democracy that was just beginning to poke its head up in Serbia?
Well, you know, the United States likes to impart its culture, its freedoms, its democracy all over the world, and occasionally it makes a stab at it. And Serbia was one of the places where it looked as though it had succeeded for a while. Prime Minister Dinkić was a robust, democratically minded person, and it's kind of a shame to see a small democracy get started and get rubbed out by some combination of nationalists and the underground. I mean, the same with Afghanistan. This country is proud of having liberated Afghanistan, but then what happens after liberation? The president appears to be in charge of Kabul and not much else. Mm-hmm. The warlords are still warlording. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of countries that need new kinds of institutions, new kinds of government, but keeping them there becomes difficult.
Yeah. Meantime, we need to get domestic briefly. More political rumblings at home against the size of the president's tax cut in the Senate. Even the moderate Republicans are wary. There's just one Democrat who's supporting the cut. Is this economic plan doomed?
Well, in its form, I think it's doomed. I think it does look as though they're not going to be able, considering how much unemployment there is, to have another big tax cut. That appears not to be in the cards. The budget is still being written, but what is very interesting is, whereas you used to be able to count on the Republicans almost as a bloc to vote for anything the president wanted, something has changed now. Mm-hmm. And there are Republicans of various kinds, and the Republicans say, we're not sure if we want to go this way. And what has happened is that it's a much more wide open area for maneuvers. That the first thing is, you don't exactly say for sure what they're going to do on a tax cut.
Remember all those years when the Republicans accused the Democrats of being the tax and spend party? So now would they say that the Republicans were the spend and the heck with the taxes?
Something like that.
Thank you very much. NPR senior news analyst Daniel Shore.